Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. Folks, man, you know, I stayed away from this conversation because, you know, this is March Madness and everybody want to talk about their brackets, whether or not they pass or fail or get busted or whatever's wrong going on with their brackets. But I want to change the conversation today. I want to just drop a little something in the background for you to think about as we move forward. You know, because a couple of weeks ago, I shared with you something concerning the future of youth sports. And in doing so, I just want you to think about some things. I just wanted you to ponder that thought just long enough to say, this is something I may want to consider. Because as our children move forward in this sports industry, every obstacle possible is out there to trip them up. Every time we turn around, there's something there that could possibly take them off course or divert them from their goals. And that's not it. That's not what it should be. That's not what we should be standing on to help our children get through this thing. You know, last week I had a little forum just for those that's involved. A few associates joined me in the forum, and we talked about a few really sticky topics. But one of them is one that I want to address today. You know, we talked about transgender athletes. We talked about the transfer portal. But the one I want to stick with today is FBS funding and how it's being shared and what's going on with it. What is the overall big picture for FBS funding? The Football Bowl subdivisions. College Football Bowl subdivisions. You know, that's a really hot topic. It's something that we really need to pay close attention to. But as always, I'm not going to start this show without first bringing in my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and this little piece he calls the College Experience. Where you at, Keith?
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connectors turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the plumber, out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Thank you.
guide, assist, conscious mentor, and elevate.
Parents coaching, parents
networking. Know the game.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
Folks, we're back. And like I was saying just before we stepped to the side, was that, you know, there's a thing out there called football bowl subdivision. And let me give you some background on what we're going to discuss today. And you can join in on this conversation at any given time by calling 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Hey, we welcome all comments, all concerns, all issues, anything that you got to bring to the table. Because we may not stay on this particular subject the whole show. We may talk about some other things, because there are some other things that I need to address. But before we get too deep into talking about this revenue of college football, I want to say, and I just recently became connected with a parent that understands the big picture of college athletics. Watch how college athletics has tried to steer and guide her child without her even being a picture of or a part of the picture. Well, moms, dads, grandma, grandpa, all legal guardians, how is that so? We're talking about a situation here where your child, mom, the one you carried for 9 months, dad, the one that you looked after for the last 17, 18 years, your child is now being guided and directed by someone that may not have that child's best interest at heart. How is that so? Why is that so? How do we allow that to happen? Well, parents, we shouldn't allow that to happen. But what happens often is due to our lack of knowledge. Our lack of knowledge. We often defer to someone who we believe, we'll hit this belief thing now, who we believe has our child's best interest at heart. But as time goes on, we realize that's not always the case. And in realizing that is not always the case, then what happens? By the time you realize that's not always the case, it is too late. Your child has committed, signed, sealed, and be ready to be delivered under false pretenses. Come on now. We got a role in this thing, parents, in the looking out for the best interests of our children as their biggest advocate. Is that numero uno, that number one position we should hold in this game. The Parents Coach Parents Network is here to guide you, assist you, mentor you, and educate you in the game of the sports industry. We want to guide you, assist you, mentor you, elevate or educate, gain you in this sports industry. Oh, no, no, no. We're not the sole providers of this information. We're going to bring in some special guests. We're going to bring in some knowledge, some experts. We're going to bring some folks to the table that have been around this block several times. So we have that general consensus. We have that knowledge coming from various backgrounds. So join us. Connect with us. Follow us on Facebook at Parents Coach Parents Network. Follow us on Instagram at PCP Network. It's all about you. Help us help you, parents. So, now let's get into this thing about college athletic funding. You know, college sports and Division I is notably, and primarily we're talking about Football Bowl Subdivision, known by FBS, is in the midst of a runaway financial race that threatens to upend and undermine the educational model of college athletics. What does that mean? What did I just say? What? If you notice, when you read the description of the show today, you may have seen some words very similar to that. You know, the whole intent to go to college is to get into that education. Go there and learn something. Walk away from there with a degree. So why wouldn't the majority of those funds that are raised by our children, why wouldn't they go into their education? Well, someone may say, well, it does go into our education. It goes into their scholarship. You know how small that peanut is? Their scholarship. Folks, come on now. Let's be for real. Goes into their scholarship. You know the numbers that they're bringing in? The scholarship is nothing to the numbers that they are bringing in monetarily wise. So why would you say it goes into their scholarship? And the major Division I conferences, the entities that distribute funds is the NCAA, college football, CFP, and the Division I conferences. We're talking primarily Division I conversation today. But distribution is more than $3.5 billion annually. $3.5 billion annually. And that is shared athletic revenue in the respective Division I institutions. It's shared as athletic revenue in the respective Division I institutions. You know, but with the current expansion of college football playoffs, you know, they're growing like leaps and bounds. You know, they're getting media rights. They're getting all these other kind of things that's going along with it. And on top of all that, now you got the NIL tied into that game. So their financial situation is growing. But the college football playoffs, they manage their funds independently of the NCAA. You heard what I said. They manage their funds independently of the NCAA. Why is that in all the institutions that play in these college football playoffs are NCAA member institutions? Help me understand that. Again, you want to join in on this conversation, 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Join in. Like I just said, why is that? Why are they able to manage their funds from the college football playoffs independently of the NCAA? That's a problem in itself. Because, like I said, each one of those institutions are NCAA members. But when it comes down to college football, college football say, hey, we're going to do our own thing with our money. But those kids still got to get cleared through the eligibility center. Those kids still have to maintain whatever the guidelines is of the NCAA in order to play, be eligible. So how is it that they're able to independently manage their funds? And with the current increase in media rights, the Football Bowl subdivision conferences, their distribution is likely to surpass $4.5 million in the next several years. You heard what I said. Again, I'll say it again. You heard what I said. With the increased media rights, for the football subdivision, football bowl subdivision conferences. You know, that's the big boys. You know, that's the SEC and all those other big schools, those subdivisions. That annual distribution will likely surpass $4.5 billion in the next several years. Again, they manage their funds independently of the NCAA. So the problem here is, why have they been carved out? Why are they sitting on their own island, but yet supposedly still governed by the NCAA? If you notice, I put it in the description, folks, that we got a voice. We have a voice at the polls. And I'm so serious about that. Because that's the only way that we're going to get any true resolution to this particular subject. Now, some of you may say, well, what's the problem? Well, you know, the institutions get the funds. And what do they do with the funds? Well, if you look at some of the graphics that I put up for this particular show, it'll tell you what's happening with the funds. The biggest receiver of those funds have been the college coaches. It hasn't been on academics. It hasn't been on adding educational value. It has been the college coaches. So tell me, explain to me, clarify this for me. Why is that the case? Because when we look at that scale, head coaches, head coaches, they getting the biggest chunk of that money. The biggest chunk of that money, the head coaches. Now, when I say head coaches, sorry to say, we're talking about the white male head coaches, followed by the black male head coaches. The white male head coaches, we're talking about, man, you know, just over the last few years, they've had an increase up to about 78.6%, an increase over the last few years. whereas black male head coaches, and we're still talking about football college sports, football college subdivision. Black male coaches, they went from previous years to 20.3% to 19.8%. Why did their numbers drop? White male coaches' numbers went up. We talk about assistant coaches. Their numbers dropped slightly. But when we talk about black male assistant coaches, their numbers raised slightly. Now, let's look at athletes. Athletes, they're the last in that category. Last in the category. And you're looking at the white male athletes, their numbers dropped. Black male athletes, numbers slightly raised. And others, we're talking about primarily probably females or other males, you know, talking about others that's around that arena, that their numbers raise substantially. But my whole point here is, why is this so? Why is the primary focus on college coaches? I know coaches add a significant value or bring a significant value to the table. I got that. I understand that. I have no problem with that. My problem is, are there other things that can be focused on? Yeah, many of these institutions have great facilities and, you know, pro-style facilities and all that. Got all that. Understand that. But let's talk about what's the academics that brings, that's brought to the table. What is the overall educational model that's being raised? See, here's the problem. Without any intervention, and what I mean by intervention, it's out of the NCAA's hands. It's out of the NCAA's hands. That's why I said earlier that our voice at the polls can make a significant change. But without any intervention, we're likely to have this thing repeat itself over and over again. Now that the athlete's getting NIL money, why not raise the salary of the coaches? We don't want some athlete to get out here and earn some NIL money that may be equivalent to a coach. Oh, no, we can't have that. You know, if we got an athlete that may possibly earn $100,000 on an NIL deal in 1 year's time, because he stands out like that. And you got a coach that's making a modest six figures and a couple of assistants that may not even be making that much or making basically the same amount that the athlete's making. Now we have a dilemma. But this can be corrected. We need our legislators. We need our lawmakers to step in and say, hey, we need to put some serious consideration on rectifying this problem. It happened earlier, NCAA versus Austin. And that wasn't the NIL deal. NCAA versus Austin was simply when the Supreme Court said that, yes, now NCAA membered institutions, and again, we're primarily focusing on today is Division I schools. NCAA membered institutions can now spend more money on their athletes as far as educational needs are concerned, educational needs are required. I don't know why I'm tripping over my tongue today, but that's all good. That's not going to stop the show. Educational needs are required. And what I mean by required, hey, tutoring. You know, the latest and greatest electronic devices so that they can maintain contact with their schools while they're out on the road. Not having to worry about even going to the school and having to have a laptop. Man, you get there, you issue the laptop with the latest educational tools already installed with an upgrade every year. A tutor that travels on the road with every team. Not no hit and miss if there's somebody available. A tutor that's hired to travel on the road with every team. Yes. Cutting that time out for study halls. Again, we're talking about our students that may have started their freshman year coming out of high school with the IEP, individual educational plan, ensuring that that individual has that required time to do his or her thing when taking a test, when writing papers and all that, and have the support behind it to make sure that all I's are dotted and T's are crossed. So when the Supreme Court came out with the ruling on Austin versus NCAA, they said, uh-uh. Institutions, let's make it happen. NCAA, you have nothing to say about it. But there is still a huge gap with the football bowl subdivisions where they are raking in funds hand over fist. You know, $3.5 billion. Over the next few years, that number may increase to $4.5 billion. In today's situation, concluding of the March Madness tournament, the NCAA may dish out about $600 billion, whereas the FBS dwarfs that number. I think it's like $2.5 billion. The NCAA coming off of March Madness may issue out $600 million. Did I say billion the first time? $600 million. But when the FBS football situation, tournament, playoffs, the whole works, championship, they got the potential to issue out close to $2.5 billion. Where's the problem? The problem, again, I say, is it's not equally distributed. Why is there any athlete that plays in the FBS is not covered with full medical health insurance? Why? Ponder that thought, folks, because that is real. Full medical health insurance. Why? I'm going to leave that thought hanging in the air for a minute while we step away and take a quick little break, and we'll come right back. This is M.A. Scott, the host of the Paris Culture Paris Network. We'll be right back.
Guys, this is mentor and elevate. And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the...
I need it!
Hey, Sean! Let's go show, Dallas!
Hey, don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Michael, George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA, you left...
Hey, Mike, this is John B. Lott, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at...
Mr. Scott, Dave Lake of Qualen. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your facts.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Part of audio, I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just want to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia. Hope all is well. Just trying to touch base.
This is Coach Keaton. I have just gotten some disturbing news from some of the... coaches that have been involved with trying to convince...
Yes, Mr. Scott, this is Sidney Lowe from NC State University. Wanted to touch base with you, sir, and get an opportunity to speak with you at your convenience.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
Hey, folks, we're back, and we just wanted to just give you a little recap of what we've been talking about thus far. We're talking about the financial situation for college football bowl subdivisions. You know, on a regular basis, like I said, coming off of March Madness, the NCAA will probably issue out a total of about $600 million to the member institutions that participated and got on a little winning streak and did their thing, so on and so forth. Whereas we're talking about the college football playoffs, which is managed independently of the NCAA. NCAA has no say-so what they do with their funds. You know, on the average, they may come out and issue out $3.5 billion annually. And over the next few years, with the media rights increasing, that number may jump up to $4.5 billion over the next several years. We need some form of intervention. We need our lawmakers to step in and right this ship. If not, it will continue to be the financial monster that it is. And the only person that's really and truly benefiting from this is who? Is the college football coaches. Are the coaches the real stars? Are the coaches the really the name that's being carried day in and day out? I ain't talking about my mainstream media. I'm talking about the reality of the thing. We all know if certain players aren't on certain teams, that team ain't going nowhere. It's been happening for years. And how long will we continue to allow it to happen? The intervention comes from us, parents of athletes, stepping up and saying enough is enough. This is election year. Why not put some pressure on some lawmakers to make some changes? I'm not going into politics. That's not my game. But I'm sure enough standing side by side with you when we approach that lawmaker. When we approach that lawmaker and address our issues and our concerns. You know, they'll have these forums coming up because everybody want to tap dance and sing in front of you now. They want you to kiss the baby, the whole works. Why not bring this to their attention now and continue to bring it to their attention? Without some form of systemic change, we're not talking about some incremental reform. We're talking about a systemic change, a systematic change. Has to happen. Not over the next 10 years, 15 years. No. Incremental reforms, we know what happened. So by the time that really goes into play, it'd be unchanged, and all of a sudden, the coaches' salaries done skyrocketed. So it needs to be some type of systematic change. Hey, it may be a hard pill to swallow, and some folks may not like that ideal, but it's real. Why is it real? Because now we want to be able to see for college athletes a solid educational program. We want to be able to see healthcare programs, safety programs, you know. We want to be able to see the well-being and gender and racial equity. Broad-based sports participation and universal education. We want to be able to see all of that. We want that to be, we want this money to go primarily towards a strong educational model. Strong educational model. Not just towards building facilities, increasing our sports facilities, increasing the pay of these coaches. Hey, I got quite a few folks out there that are coaches that I know personally. I'm not saying taking anything out their pocket, but there's a whole lot of finances out there, funding out there that's not being used for the right thing. Parents, did you know if your child gets hurt playing football? No, let me ask you this question. And call in. I need you to call in and give me an answer. Again, give me a call at 516-453-7. 9932, 516-453-9932. Call in. Here's the question. Here's the question. If your child plays in one of the football bowl subdivisions, SEC, Pac-10, or all the other big name schools, Power Five schools, okay, plays in one of those conferences, and he gets hurt, I'm talking about potentially career-ending injury, career-ending, or not even a career-ending, something that takes him out of the game and will probably be an ongoing, aggravating, chronic issue. Does the institution cover your child from now until? Does it? Do they cover your child with medical insurance? Oh, yeah, they'll cover them as long as your child is there. But what happens afterwards? If you got the answer to that, give us a call, 516-453-9932. Love to hear your thoughts. Do they or don't they? And if they do, what's the extent of it? How long do they cover your child? If they don't, why not? I would see that as a major, major, major breakdown in the system. You know, the Knight Commission, who is the folks that have pulled all this information together, conducted a survey of 100 Division I athletic department directors. 100. This was in March of 2021. A survey of more than 100 FBS athletic directors. That was part of the Knight Commission survey. They found that 96%, which if they surveyed 100, 96% is 96 of them. You know, I wonder why would they put, you know, 96%, I guess, to give it, make it sound like it has more validity. 96 out of 100 favored a model that will be better managed spending and encourage investment in the principle highlighted in the commission's recommendations. In other words, highlighting do more spending on health, safety, well-being, gender equity, broad-based sports participation, and university academics. They favored that. They said it sounds like a good idea. Let's invest more in that. But those are the athletic directors, 96 out of 100. That sounds like that's a go to me. The other four, hey, oh well, either join in or step off. Join in or step off. Simple. So if these 100 athletic directors, and that's, you got to think about this here too. That's a very small number, considering the number of athletic directors that's out there. But we all know when the big dogs do something, everybody else has a tendency to follow. So if these FBS conferences did it, all other college football will probably do the same thing. But the part that I like I said, is just amazing to me is that how they are able to independently manage their own funding. Independent from the NCAA. In other words, you have nothing to do with our money, NCAA. Step off. Wow. So, like I said, the NCAA distributes nearly $600
million dollars annually from its March Madness tournament to the Division I institutions. Whereas the Power Five conferences distribute a combination of $2.5 billion annually. What's wrong with that picture? Power Five conferences are part of this football bowl subdivision. Power Five conferences, $2.5 billion annually. And they are growing. And a lot of their growth is coming from media rights. Everybody wants a piece of the pie to be able to broadcast a major football game, championship game. Systemic changes is needed, not incremental reforms. It is necessary to alter the spending patterns, because if not, what's going to happen? This cycle will continue to repeat itself over and over and over again. The Knight Commission, who is the body behind this data that I'm sharing with you this afternoon, they have a few recommendations out there. And one of them is called the CARE model. It's called Connecting Athletic Revenue with Educational Model for College Sports. In other words, that money that they bring in on the academic side, they want to connect it with the educational side to make things a whole lot better for all athletes. Let's look at another thing that's out there, another situation where this money could be used and spent. All right, your child graduates from the university of whatever, ain't no particular name, graduates with a computer science degree. Now, when he or she, or let's say she, because that's the ones that's involved in this FBS football program, there may be a few young ladies out there that's involved in it as well, but we're going to primarily say he. When he graduates with his computer science degree, does he have all of the bells and whistles that go along with that degree in order to make him a valuable asset to any corporate entity that he joins? And what I mean by bells and whistles, folks, did they get all the certifications? Did they get all the necessary trainings? Have they passed all the necessary required exams to make them a valuable asset when they join that company in corporate America? Certifications aren't easy to come by. You got to get it to, and you have to pay for it. Why can't the institutions do that? Your child graduates with a degree in, something dealing with electrical systems. Once again, do they walk out the door with all the certifications to let them step into the workplace and go straight in? Or this, okay, now you're here with us, we're going to send you to school to get this certification, we're going to send you to school to get, why isn't that part of the program when they step out of college? Any field of study that they walk out of, that they step out of, let's take counseling. If you're in the counseling field, when you step away from your last day in school, you should at least have enough certifications or whatever is required to be just short of obtaining your license as a professional counselor. I'm looking at that from a first-hand perspective. So if my child went to school and he wanted to be a counselor and he played in FBS football, can he step away at the end of the day and have a license as a professional counselor? Or will he require additional training, testing, and things of that nature in order for him to become licensed? And if that's the case, why wouldn't the institution pay for it? They have the money. They have the funding. You're giving these coaches this astronomical paychecks and severance pays when you fire them. They get fired and walk away with a severance pay. Walk away with a severance pay. Folks, something's wrong with that picture. Something is wrong with that picture. But again, I say, with all that being said, we need more insight from our legislators, our lawmakers, the ones we put in office to do our bidding. We need more insight from them to govern what we have in front of us. That's not optional. You know, now they're talking about college football playoffs is working to complete a new media deal that could result in an additional $700 million of uncommitted annual revenue. A new media deal that's in addition to what they already get of uncommitted annual revenue. There's a problem. There's a problem. And we as parents can fix it, because we're the ones who pushes the buttons or colors in that little dot to put that legislator in office. It's not the NCAA, because as I told you earlier, the NCAA has no control over FBS funding. They independently control their funding. But our elected officials have some say-so, because each one of those students, each one of those American-born students are under the government ruling. I hate to put it like that. That sounds kind of harsh, but it is what it is. Each one of those students are potential voters. So, folks, consider that. Think about that. Share your thoughts and comments as I post this particular episode on our Facebook page, our Parents Culture Parents Facebook page, Parents Culture Parents Network Facebook page. Excuse me, allow me to clear that up. Parents Culture Parents Network Facebook page. It is vitally important. I need to hear your thoughts. I need to know how we, as a collective, will move forward. We here at the Parents Coach Parents Network always talk about being able to work with and through each other. It's not an I thing. It's a we thing. The spirit of Ubuntu. I am me because you are you. I'm sitting up here sharing this information and this insight with you this evening, this afternoon, and wherever you're listening from. Could be morning. I'm sharing this information with you so now you have a better understanding. And we know what we have to do. I'm just ready to step to the table with you so we can do it together, collectively. That's what it's all about. Being able to step to the table and bringing something to the table collectively to make this thing happen. This is as real as I could possibly be, folks. You know, earlier in the show, I started out talking about how parents are not informed. As a result, they allow folks to make decisions for their children. At what point in time are we going to say, oh, put the brakes on that. Enough is enough. Let's stop that train. You know, check out my book, You Don't Know What You Don't Know, The Sports Parents Guide by M.H. Scott. You can find it on Amazon, or you could just send us a quick inbox and we'll get one to you with the autograph. No problem. No cap, as the kids would say. But at the end of the day, folks, we here at the Parents Code of Parents Network is here to guide you, assist you, mentor, and educate you in this sports industry. Because we realize we can't do it alone. We realize you can't do it alone. We realize if we did it collectively, it will be a win, win, win. And I'll actually say win situation. Our child would win. The institution would win. Overall, society will win. And we as parents will win because we will have a peace of mind that our children are being looked after in the right way. So, with that being said, it's been fun. It's been real. This is M.A. Scott, host of the Parents Coach Parents Network. And we're going to step away. But you can catch us every Sunday at 3:15 at, excuse me, woo, about to mess up big time, at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on the Parents Coach Parents Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Guide, teach, friendship, mentor, help you and elevate. Parents coaching, parents know the game.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach of Parents.
Take us out, Keith.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.